From Romans chapter 8, verses 12 to 17. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if, through the power of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. And now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Thanks be to God.
The reading, Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, tells of the risen Jesus informing the disciples of the great commission he has for them. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age."
Thank you, David. And that is a traditional reading for Trinity Sunday, because it's one of the only places in the Bible, one of the few places in the Bible, where it talks about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together as one God. But I don't really want to talk about the Trinity today. I want to talk about the Great Commission and our mission as a church. It was over 10 years ago that I came for a look around as I was appointed to be minister here. And before I'd started, a few months before, Emily and I met many people as we had a look round the churches of what was then a circuit of just four churches. Ben hadn't even been born then, and it's his 10th birthday next week. Phoebe was staying with her nana for the day. And I can remember a meeting with the circuit stewards, Peter Arnold, Jean Moore, and Donald Clinton Smith, and our treasurer, Richard Huntington. They wanted to get to know me and get a sense of what I might bring to the ministry here. Donald, who was then a sprightly 88, asked me a question about our mission in the church, and especially our mission to young people. He said that there were two schools of thought on the matter. Those who believed a church with a lot of old people should concentrate on ministry to old people, and those who felt a church should try to reach out to all ages. He wanted to know where I stood on the matter. And since Donald was, well, I'd never met him before, and he was quite an old person, I wasn't sure what he wanted me to say. I said that there was merit in both, but that I wouldn't be accepting a job here to bring my family here if I felt this would be a church that had nothing to offer young people. I said I wanted our children to grow here and grow in faith here, and that a healthy church should be a family of all ages. And I would do everything I could to make sure this church was. I hope I gave him the right answer. He didn't object to me getting the job. 2.5 years later, Hannah, Susie, and I came up with the idea of Pizza Club for what was then for the older children in the circuit, those aged 8 to 11. And I know Donald and Doreen were delighted that what had always been known as the youth wing, ever since they helped to build it, could live up to its name again. Pizza Club will be 8 years old in November and old enough to join. And dozens of young people have been through it since then. Some staying for just a short time, some staying for many years. And there still are. And I hope that they all have a positive impression of church because of Pizza Club, and that it may play a part in God's work in their lives. But it's clear, as I talk to some of our leaders, people like Michael, Peter, Joyce and Mark, Catherine, who've been here a long time, that this is only the most recent incarnation of good youth work that's been going on here since the 1960s, and probably before that as well. And you don't have to look far in Market Harbour to find someone who once came to our youth club. Indeed, one of our newest members, Linda, is not new. This is a church she once felt very much at home in because she came to the youth club, as did Colin, I think, many years ago, and many, many others. I mentioned Donald and Doreen especially today because of all the many things they were involved in. Mission was at the core of everything they did. God's mission was their motivation, which meant they devoted many decades to youth work and outreach. And this motivation, this mission, is the same for many of the other people I've mentioned too, and many others as well. People here today, people watching at home, and those who have passed on. Those who through the years, often quietly, humbly, and in a supporting role, have been so important to this church living up to its great commission. That great commission is to go and make disciples and baptize them and teach them everything we know about the Jesus we love. And this has always been a great commission. Great in terms that it's wonderful, but also great in terms that it's in terms of it being massive. This seems like a huge and impossible task, but it's only fulfilled when we remember the promise that Jesus is with us. As he said right at the end, remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's only possible when we remember that promise and when we take it one step at a time. And God's mission takes many forms. Reaching out to young people, helping people in need, making disciples of all nations, of all ages, showing God's love through pastoral care, offering generous hospitality, preaching and leading in worship, supporting local initiatives for the good of the community, and helping to preserve the planet God has given us. All of these, and so much more, are part of God's mission. And I am constantly thankful for those who play their part to share in that mission today, and for those who have played their part and gone on before us. And their legacy lives on. And the legacy will live on, of course, not in memorial plaques or flower beds or even buildings. The legacy of each disciple involved in God's mission lives on in the lives changed, in the people reached with the love of God. And sometimes you're not even aware when you're doing it. You might never get to know when your invitation to a friend to come to church made a difference. You might never get to know when your kind and encouraging word or that meal you cooked that just made somebody feel loved and welcome here, or that Sunday school lesson you taught, or that prayer you prayed. You don't even know when the thing that you did made a difference. But everyone is helped towards God because someone helped them, someone befriended them, someone encouraged them, someone played a part at the right time. As part of my role here, where I get to represent the church and do some very special things, I have the honor of baptizing, confirming, and making new members. And although it's only been 11 baptisms here at Market Harbour, in 10 years, we've welcomed 54 new members. A similar number have been promoted to glory, and we miss them. But 54 new members shows that God is at work here, and his mission is alive. Back to our gospel reading. When the disciples met Jesus on that mountain, Matthew tells us that they worshipped him, but some doubted. And it's funny, isn't it? That's when the doubt creeps in. In the height of worship, and you actually feel uplifted because you're enjoying church and you hear something positive. And then come the "ah buts," the doubts. "Ah, but we don't see many young people. Ah, but we're all getting older. Ah, but who will carry things on when we can't do it anymore? Ah, but are we really up to the task?" And that's when the doubts always creep in. And I can imagine those disciples worshipping and thinking, "Yes, it's lovely to be here with Jesus on this mountain, and what a beautiful view of everything all around. What a special moment. Ah, but what's going to happen when he's gone? Who will be in charge then? You know they can't stop squabbling when he's not around. And this great commission, how on earth are we going to do that? Reach all the nations? I can only speak two languages and my Greek isn't that good, some of them will be thinking. And we've got a list of jobs that needs filling. And one of them might be thinking, I don't want to do one of the big jobs. Maybe I can offer to be something small, like baptismal role secretary. That sounds like a quiet one. Well, for a start, who do you think it is that tries to spoil our worship by putting in our heads the "ah buts"? Well, let me tell you that he's crept around since the beginning, putting doubts and temptations in the minds of God's people. And the biggest temptations are to doubt ourselves and to despair. To doubt that we really are children of the loving and almighty God. Did God really say that? The niggling doubt will say. When we doubt ourselves or doubt God's promises or doubt who we are in Christ or what God can do through us, let me tell you that it's not God's voice we're hearing. That's not the Holy Spirit. And secondly, what happened at Pentecost just a few days later when the Spirit came? And when they remembered the really important part of the Great Commission, the promise that Jesus is actually with us, that he doesn't leave us just to get on with it under our own steam and in our own abilities. What happened? God broke down every barrier that was holding them back. Thousands heard the message, and thousands were baptized and turned their lives around. 3,000 people baptized in one day, the Bible tells us. And the person who'd volunteered to be baptismal role secretary was quickly regretting it. God's mission goes on, step by small step. And Jesus is with us. And he's calling us not to do it all, not to reach the whole world by ourselves, or even the whole of Market Harborough by ourselves. He's calling us to be a part of it. Not because he thinks we'd be bored otherwise, but because the world still needs to know his love and grace. And there are many who need to be invited into the family of God and know that they're welcome. And I think the world needs to know that now, just as much as ever. There is much to be done. But let's answer the doubts with faith. Let's encourage one another with hope. And let's support one another with love. God is with us. And God is at work in our church and many others. And we won't be perfect and we will make mistakes. And I'm sorry if sometimes you might feel like you've been missed out or overlooked, but come and speak to us. And if you think you can help at all, please help, and help cheerfully. Tell us what your gifts are, and help us discern where God is calling you. Every year we have a stewardship renewal where we're invited to consider what roles we could each play in the life of our church. Letters and packs will be coming out in a few weeks. And if you don't think God is calling you to do any practical jobs or any ministry jobs or play such an active part in God's mission, then give, and give cheerfully. There are many ways your money could make a massive difference. Do talk to us if you'd like to know more. And if you don't feel at the moment that you could help or give, then God must have reserved for you the most important part of all. Pray. Simply, humbly, but incredibly powerful. Pray. Because when God's mission works, it is lubricated by the prayers of God's people. Where prayer is the oxygen that gives life and energy to the mission. I need your prayers, and God's mission here in Market Harborough needs your prayers, so that we can reach people with God's love, from the youngest to the oldest. Thank you for all you are doing already. But Trinity Sunday is a good time to be reminded that God's mission goes on. Thanks to the Father who loves us, the Son who is always with us, and the Holy Spirit who will enable us together to do everything God calls us to do and to be. Amen.